For our morning scripture, we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. And this is in our Pew Bible in the New Testament on page 162, if you want to follow along. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. May God add a blessing to the reading and the understanding of His Word. And now I would like to have Mr. Sam St. John to bring our message. Thank you.
Good morning. I am happy to be here with you all at Oak Grove. I was asked not about a year ago at this time to come speak to you all, and I was supporting my grandfather who was giving a message at the time, and so I'm happy to report he is not giving a message today. He is in good health, but I had the morning to give you all this message, and I'm happy to be here for it. Just a couple of quick things about myself before I get started, just so you know a little bit about who I am. I graduated from Bridgewater College with my degree in Communication Studies back in 2016. I am a current member of the Witness Commission for the District Board, and I'm entering my second year with that as their secretary. So prayers for my minute taking this year, as that's a first for me. And I've contributed to many youth cabinets and boards, etc., throughout the years, and I'm just starting to get into pulpit supply since graduation, so I'm happy to be here with you all and present my message to you. You've got to live your religion deep inside when you try, for the kingdom on high by His grace. These are lyrics from singer-songwriter Van Morrison's song, By His Grace. I have always loved finding songs by artists who aren't necessarily placed into the genres of praise music or Christian contemporary music, and I like to use them to illustrate a point within the confines of the church as a physical place. I've never been one who has been able to relate to what many people would call mainstream, whether it is in music, whether it's in art, television, or even worship styles. Today's worship services, many of which we would at one time deem contemporary, are now morphing into the new traditional. Big screens and large amphitheaters displaying songs that at one time would be considered too gaudy and rock and roll are now becoming the new Amazing Grace. Many people from churches whose membership is becoming sparser and sparser are moving to these churches where good times seem to abound and the proverbial milk and honey is pouring from all the spigots. Is this a problem? When I was an eighth grade student at Faith Christian School in Roanoke, just up the road, we had regular weekly chapel services that focus largely on the newer praise music of the last 25 or so years. Myself, hailing from the humble folks at Ninth Street Church of the Brethren, I was completely lost looking up on their projection screens and trying to follow along to songs that I was hearing for the first time. Now, I've never really considered myself a slouch in the world of music, Even in eighth grade, I was enjoying listening to the music of my grandparents and parents. Yet I couldn't quite gel with the songs that were played at these weekly chapel services at school. I oftentimes would feel left out, and I'd look around to see my peers singing along, swaying to the music, worshiping in a manner that was best for them, but foreign to me. When they would play the occasional hymn, like Come Thou Fount, Be Thou My Vision, my ears would perk up and I'd begin to sing along with the student body. And yet, I still felt a sense of isolation. The scripture verse that was read this morning is one that we've all heard many times throughout our studies of the New Testament, whether in Bible studies or Sunday schools, etc. It's a verse that is very relatable. And I think that's a key reason why it is so often used in these scenarios. Yet, how often do we look it over and realize that though it may be simple to understand, that doesn't make it simple to carry out? In this message this morning, I'd like to use the church as an example of what it means to be one body and how we are to show grace to other congregations that may not worship quite like we're comfortable with. Throughout my life, I've had many people come in and out that may have started at one church and ended up attending another. They found one that was a fit to them. Now, myself personally, I have a hard enough time visiting a church and deciding where to sit so that I don't step on the toes of the person who's been sitting there for the last 25 years. I've been invited to go to different church Bible studies and different worship services outside of my regular worship at Ninth Street. Yet I always seem to feel a sense of guilt for leaving the familiar behind. When I give messages at various churches, like I am this morning, I almost want my family to stay behind at Ninth Street so the pews don't seem as empty there than to come and support me wherever I may be. The congregation is the body of the church. We are the members that make up the core that are to go and make disciples of all nations. Without the churches composing the many, we cannot have the church as an institution. Verse 6 of the passage from Romans this morning states that we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And I think this can be used to describe the congregations within our own denomination. Now, like I said, I've had the privilege of giving many messages now at several churches and more rural churches than our district here. Churches in Nelson County, Pennsylvania, Botetourt, and elsewhere, and no two are exactly alike. These churches are part of the body of Christ. They each possess their own unique qualities that make the body a fully functioning unit. When these churches dissolve, or members are coaxed to leave by larger congregations moving nearby, the body loses a part of its integrity. It is up to us to maintain said integrity, to allow these smaller churches to thrive, because if we pull away their resources, they will surely fall by the wayside. So let me go back to the Van Morrison lyric that I started with. He sang that we need to live our religion. So what does that exactly mean to us? Are we to follow the systematic guidelines laid out by the scriptures that we've studied for so many years? Are we to all give sermons to those who are unchurched and needing Christ? Are we to recite historical facts about our denomination in a historical context? Yes, we are to follow the scriptures and what they tell us. Yes, we are to spread the gospel when so needed. And when we're given the opportunity, we should give the basic background of our denomination. But is that really living our religion? Living our religion means having a strong bond with Jesus Christ using our relationship with Him to live a rounded and meaningful Christian life. It is through God's grace that we are given this opportunity to live again. Christ's grace on the cross has allowed us to have a new life, a life where our sins are forgiven and we can walk freely in His footsteps. Now, how does the church as a whole live their religion? I think it starts by welcoming any newcomers into the church with open arms and giving them an assurance that they are among brothers and sisters in Christ. The church must also allow for the growth of these congregations who may be struggling to remain at even a quarter of their full capacity. These may be the churches on the front lines of areas where God's love is needed immediately, whether these places are rural farming communities or inner cities that struggle with homelessness and gang violence. There are congregations who minister in ways that we can't fathom. Each church in a denomination has its own purpose, no matter how small it may be. And each time somebody drives by a church with even one or two cars in the parking lot, and we have a few of those people that are inside worshiping are making it known that they have a reason and a purpose for being where they are at that present time. We are in a day and age today where living our religion, so to speak, and showing grace are very much needed in this growing secular culture. Information is constantly being thrown our way, and we can see what people are doing almost 24/7. Usually, it's not bettering us for any manner. We find more reasons to see the faults in people in today's world. Faults in people we've normally seen as friends and neighbors. Platforms are more readily available to throw out an opinion. An opinion often given with little or no thought behind what its possible repercussions may be to those who read it. This is not in the spirit of living our religion. We are not following in the ways of Christ when we hastily splatter heated opinions in the faces of those that we've cared and loved so much for so long, only to regret it quickly after we share it with the whole world to see. Show grace in all you say and do, just as Christ showed His grace when He hung from a cross. In one body, we have many members. Time and time again, we've heard the scripture used as an analogy, yet we continue to be in need of hearing it. How often did Christ show grace while on His earthly mission? Some of His final hours during His life were saying words of grace in regard to the criminals that hung on either side of Him. Aren't we capable as a church to show even a fraction of that grace? As a church built on the principles of Christ's ministry on earth, I believe that we can. As the scripture this morning has told us, we each possess gifts that have been bestowed upon us by the One who created us. So why not use them? I've been given grace my whole life, from teachers to family members to different employers. I was given a chance after I may have been in the wrong. The church must show grace to those that enter its doors. That goes for individual congregations and the church as a whole entity. We will stumble. We will fall. We will try to get back up again and be pushed back down. But Christ gave us the ability to do these things. He's the reason we are able to fall and then stand back up. Think for a moment on a time in your life where you could have shown some grace, and either out of fear of being looked at as weak or because you didn't think that the person deserved a second chance. In all likelihood, the person in need of grace made a mistake that you have made somewhere in your life. And if you were in their shoes, you too would want a second chance of trying again. The church is the ideal spot for people who want to try again. It is custom made for people who have fallen and need something to grab a hold of to hoist themselves back up. I think back now on my eighth grade self, standing among my fellow peers and looking up at the projection screen, flashing lyrics to songs that I'd never heard of before. I knew that those songs were hitting some students where they needed, but I wasn't in the same worshipful mood because I couldn't relate to what was being presented right in my face. Showing grace was the last thing on my mind. Why would I want to give something that I couldn't connect with a second chance? In hindsight, I should have taken the moment to close my eyes and realize that God was making himself known to many of the students in that room, and that though I may not have felt God at that moment, he was indeed present. There are churches that are out there, larger ones than this. There are churches out there that are smaller than this. Some agree with what we believe, some contradict. Yet we must calm ourselves and grant grace where it is needed. Don't throw out statements that you will soon regret just because you are heated over an issue. Talk it over with God. Pray. Meditate. Listen to some of your favorite hymns. Then let your heart decide what is in your best interest. Our bodies are made of many members, each one with a specific and unique function. Sometimes one part doesn't like what the other is doing and attempts to thwart it off, all the while looking for the betterment of the body as a whole. Why can't we do this as a church? Well, I think that we can. We have one thing in common, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. He wants what's best for us, and in that we can confide. Show grace to your neighbors within the church, both in your rural neighborhoods and your inner city neighborhoods, your neighbors in the United States and abroad, your neighbors on the left and on the right. We are one body. Let us preserve it and make it the best that it can be, starting today and moving forward into tomorrow. Amen.